reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And the widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling. But eventually, he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of God's chosen ones who call out to God day and night? Will God be slow to answer them? I tell you, God will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The Gospel of the Lord. I'll tell you a personal story. It's about a friend of mine, Henry. He won't mind my telling you, because when he was alive, he wanted people to know his story and what happened to him. I visit him the last 8 years of his life whenever I was off the road and at home in Raleigh. Henry was always at home for those visits. He was on death row. He spent 18 years on the row. He served another prison sentence before that. As a young man, he was, by his own accounts, a thug. But that wasn't the Henry I came to know during our hour-and-a-half visits. In prison, he returned to his childhood religion. As our visits would draw to a close, he'd check his watch and remind me we had to pray. His prayers, out of his tradition, were long and detailed. He always included the things I told him about, for instance, my ailing parents and places that I was about to go preach. His letters to me included reflections on some scripture he had just read. I never tried to convert Henry. I didn't want to take advantage of his situation and our friendship. But on his own, Henry started to attend the weekly mass the local Franciscan friars came to celebrate with other death row inmates. And he became a Catholic. Raleigh's Bishop Gosman went to death row on Pentecost Sunday and confirmed Henry and 6 other inmates. Our diocesan newspaper had a picture of the occasion. The inmates were in their bright red jumpsuits. And because it was Pentecost, Bishop Gosman had on his bright red chasuble. Bishop and inmates standing with each other, each in Pentecost red. I'll never forget the image of the church on death row. As we say here in the South, Henry was country. He was a poor Native American. He was wiry, dark, missing teeth, and had a strong country accent. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I often wondered how we managed to communicate, but we did. He was convicted of killing a man for money and then for killing the witness to the crime. They found a cigarette butt near one of the bodies. It was Henry's brand. A shovel at Henry's home had soil on it. The prosecution claimed it was used to bury the bodies, but later, soil samples on the shovel were shown not to have come from the location of the graves. Henry was poor, so the state gave him a lawyer who never called one witness for the defense. 5 years later, he was given another trial. He got the same lawyer. 10 years later, a law firm took up his case on a pro bono basis. It was a big, important law firm. When they wanted a DNA of the cigarette butt and tests of other evidence used in the trial, the Police said that the evidence had been destroyed. Recently in North Carolina, and you may have read this in national news, the State Bureau of Investigation has been found to be using outdated crime testing equipment, poorly trained investigators, and the board has been working with the prosecutor's office. Instead of being an impartial body that presents evidence to both prosecutors and defense attorneys. I'm sorry to go on for so long, as I said, but this is a personal story. I was with Henry at his execution. I also don't mean to condemn all law enforcement officers. We've had four family members on the New York police force, and they were all honorable officers. As unusual as it can seem, can you see the similarity between Henry's case and that of the widow in today's gospel? Both were poor. Both went before judges. Both were persistent. In Hebrew, the word widow means one without voice. In that light, Henry was a widow too. When we go before courts of justice, we expect justice, but unfortunately, that isn't always the case. Oh, there's one difference. The widow in the gospel may eventually have gotten her justice. Henry never did. Today's gospel is used to encourage persistent prayer. Be careful here. Where do you think God is in the story? Certainly not in the unjust judge, who even describes himself as neither fearing God nor respecting human beings. I think the widow would be a better representation of God, a constant, persistent voice crying out for justice for the poor. The judge didn't respect life, but God certainly does. October is Respect Life Month, and one of the pro-life issues of our bishops has been to focus on the end of the death penalty. More than 30 years ago, they called for an ongoing Catholic campaign to end the death penalty. And more recently, Cardinal McCarrick was clear on the issue. Quote, "The use of the death penalty cannot really be mended. It should be ended." When Pope John Paul II went to St. Louis in 1999, he said, quote, "I renew the appeal for a consensus to end the death penalty, which is both cruel and unnecessary." And he wasn't just speaking about innocent victims on death row. The Pope called us to choose being, quote, "unconditionally pro-life," and, quote, "to proclaim, celebrate, and serve the gospel of life in every situation." In every situation, even for a guilty murderer on death row. The dignity of human life must never be taken away, even when someone has committed an unspeakable evil. If we're to respect life, then we must respect all life. One of the saddest details in today's parable is that the poor widow was not just economically poor. She was poor because she had no support. There was no one there by her side to speak along with her and help her plead her case. Today, just before we receive communion, we will pray the Lord's Prayer, and we'll say, "Thy kingdom come." We're not praying so much about a future heaven as about a present manifestation of God's ways here on earth. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, it's not magic. The persistent widow-like God wants us to work on behalf of justice and will work through us to denounce injustice whenever and wherever we meet it. Speaking out against the death penalty is hardly a popular cause, but the gospel of life and all-embracing compassion tells us it's the right thing to do if we're followers of Jesus, the executed one. A recent Pax Christi pamphlet suggests the following actions for those of us inspired by today's gospel widow. Voice your concerns with your elected state and national officials about the death penalty. Voice your concerns to your state attorney general. Voice your concerns to the attorney general in Washington. Look up the phone number in the book. Write or visit a prisoner on death row. Write or visit murder victims' families. Write a letter to the editor of your newspaper about the death penalty. Organize study groups in your parish community. Justice is not easily achieved in our world, hence we need to hear a parable about persistent asking, and also trust that we're not alone in our struggle, for we have with us the power of the gospel to give words to our voices